Let's conclude our talks from 2 Timothy by reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 19 through 22. In this final section of the letter, we have Paul's closing greetings and his farewell. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 19. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Once again, let's mention a few background notes first of all. In verse 19, we have the mention of Prisca and Aquila. Prisca is the more formal name for Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila were a Christian couple, and they are mentioned several times in the New Testament. Let's briefly trace their record up to this point in 2 Timothy. Priscilla and Aquila are first mentioned in Acts chapter 18, where Paul met them in Corinth on his second missionary journey. They had recently come from Rome, and they were tent makers. Since Paul was also a tent maker by trade, he stayed with them and worked with them while he preached in the synagogue on the Sabbath days. Paul may have led Priscilla and Aquila to the Lord, although they may already have been Christians before Paul met them. In any case, when Paul left Corinth for Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila went with him. And before long, the church at Ephesus was meeting in their home, as we see from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. We know that Aquila and Priscilla returned to Rome sometime later. When Paul wrote to the Romans during his third missionary journey, he sent greetings to Aquila and Priscilla, who were then in Rome. And again, they have a church meeting in their home. I'm reading Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now here in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 19, we see that Aquila and Priscilla are in Ephesus once again, because Paul is sending greetings to them through Timothy. Remember, Timothy was at Ephesus when Paul sent this last letter to him. Paul is writing to Timothy from Rome during his final Roman imprisonment. The household of Onesiphorus is also mentioned in verse 19. We read about the help Onesiphorus brought to the Apostle Paul in chapter 1 of this letter. And now here in chapter 4, we see that Onesiphorus was from Ephesus. In verse 20, we read of Erastus. Now, what do we know about him? In Acts chapter 19, we read of an Erastus who was on Paul's missionary team. In Romans 16, we read of an Erastus who was the city treasurer of Corinth. If you visit the ruins of ancient Corinth today, you can see the name of this Erastus inscribed in an ancient pavement there. Now, whether the Erastus here in 2 Timothy 4:20 is the Erastus of Acts 19 or the Erastus of Romans 16 is hard to say. It may be that it's the same person in all three references. We can't be sure. In verse 21, Paul requests that Timothy make every effort, do your utmost to come before winter. Navigation on the Mediterranean Sea was limited during the winter months. And remember, Paul had requested that Timothy bring his cloak, verse 13. And of course, Paul wanted to see Timothy before he died. In verse 9, we read, be diligent to come to me quickly. In verse 21, we also read of Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia. This is the only mention of these Christians in Scripture. There is some extra-biblical evidence, however, that this Linus may have gone on to become a leader in the Church of Rome. Now, one final background note. In the closing benediction of verse 22, we read, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. What's significant here is that we have both the singular your and the plural you in this verse. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your singular spirit. Grace be with you, plural. Amen. In other words, the letter of 2 Timothy was a personal letter to Timothy, but Paul expects that it will be read in the church at Ephesus. The same is true of the other two pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy and Titus. They are personal letters, but Paul wrote them for a much larger audience. Well, so much for background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal points or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God calls some husband and wife teams into the ministry. God calls some husband and wife teams into the ministry. We briefly trace the history of Priscilla and Aquila in the background notes. They were a husband and wife team in the ministry. They are always mentioned together in Scripture. The early church at Ephesus met in their home. When they went back to Rome, we read of a church meeting in their home there. They were a very busy and productive couple in the ministry. When a Christian preacher by the name of Apollos came to Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila took him into their home and together taught him more about the Christian faith. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 26, we read, "So he, that is Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." Aquila and Priscilla functioned as a husband and wife team in the ministry. Now, all Christian husbands and wives should function as teams. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5, we learn that all of the apostles, with the exception of the apostle Paul, and most of the men involved in the ministry of the early church were married. Yes, Peter was married. Paul was uniquely different from most of these early men in the ministry, being single. Now, presumably, all of the wives of the apostles and other workers were supportive and involved in their husbands' ministry. But you don't read of them by name, as you do Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla functioned together as a husband and wife team in the ministry. God calls some husband and wife teams into the ministry. Right now, I know of several new churches where the secret of success in getting these churches off the ground and running has been the dedicated efforts of a few husband and wife teams. Some of you here today are married. Maybe God is calling you as a husband-wife team into the work of the Lord. Some of you here today are single. Be open to the possibility that God may want to call you and your future husband or wife into the work of the Lord, if that is God's will. God calls some husband and wife teams into the ministry. Doctrinal point number two, it is not always God's will to heal sickness. It is not always God's will to heal sickness. In verse 20, we read, "Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick." Now, Trophimus was another of Paul's fellow workers. We read about him in Acts chapter 20 as well as Acts chapter 21. What the cause of his sickness was and whether he eventually recovered or not, we don't know. In any case, in Paul's final travels before coming to Rome as a prisoner, he left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Miletus was a seaport town about 50 miles south of Ephesus. Now, why didn't Paul heal him? After all, we know that others were healed through the ministry of Paul. When Paul was at Ephesus, for example, on his third missionary journey, we read in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, that God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then we read in Acts chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, that when Paul was on the island of Malta, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So back to our question, why didn't Paul heal Trophimus? Was it because Trophimus did not have enough faith? No. The answer is our doctrinal point. It is not always God's will to heal sickness. The Apostle Paul did not practice faith healing as an art. Paul's use of the gift of healing was not directed by his own will, and the healing power was not in Paul. No, God healed who he willed to heal. Paul was only the means God used. It was not God's will for Trophimus to be healed of his sickness at this point. Even Dr. Luke, who was with Paul, had to leave Trophimus sick at Miletus. It is not always God's will to heal sickness. Christians need to acknowledge this truth today. God can heal sickness today, sometimes by using doctors and medicines, sometimes without doctors and medicines. When I was 12 years old, I was cured of polio without doctors and without medicines. And apart from any healer, by the way, it was by means of prayer. And it was prayer in the context of if it is the Lord's will. Well, I'm thankful that it was the will of the Lord, and my paralysis was gone overnight. But sometimes it is not God's will to heal for one reason or another. And we're not talking about disciplinary sickness here. It is not always God's will to heal sickness. Practical application. Do you have a living legacy? Do you have a living legacy? Now, you know what the word legacy means, right? Something left by a person when they die. It's usually money or property. Paul had a legacy, but it wasn't money or property. Paul had a living legacy. It was Timothy. Paul had discipled Timothy and trained Timothy. Paul knew that when he died, Timothy and other living legacies would carry on the work. Do you have a living legacy? If you were to die this year, would the work of the Lord that God has entrusted to you come to a standstill? Are you discipling anyone right now? Shortly after Paul penned this letter to Timothy, he was taken to a place outside the city of Rome where he boldly met the executioner's sword. He went home to be with the Lord, knowing that he had fought the good fight and finished the course and kept the faith. And an essential part of all this was leaving a living legacy in Timothy and others. Do you have a living legacy?